Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Welcome especially to our viewers on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. You can join us there anytime. And these shows are archived there. So if you've listened and you think, I want to see what Tim Staples looked like when he was given that answer, you can go see it later. And yes, he does. He rubs his chin thoughtfully as he answers. It's open forum this hour. Open forum means anybody from any persuasion. You don't have to be Catholic. You're welcome to call. And you can have any question you like about the life of the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, how we live, what we believe. All those questions are welcome. 888-318-7884 is the number. That's 888-318-7884. And as I was intimating, Tim Staples is our guest this hour. Tim Staples, the author most recently of Behold Your Mother.
Amen. And after that, Mary, 20 Answers.
Oh, you wrote?
Or 20 Answers, Mary, I should say. That came after Behold Your Mother.
Oh, so let me start again. Author most recently of Mary, a 20 Answers book in the set of 20 Answers books at Catholic Answers. Do you know about the 20 Answers Challenge? Do you know anything about that?
I do. I think it's really cool that we're saying to folks, if you get the whole collection of 20 Answers booklets, which folks, we got stuff on everything from Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, to the Bible, to salvation, to Mary, you name it, we have it, the Eucharist, which is really a tremendous aid for anyone who wants to defend and explain our Catholic faith. You get the whole lot. You're getting an enormous discount. What's the discount? 50%?
Half off.
I can't believe we're doing this. This is too good. Side. 50% off plus 10% of the sale is going to go to our friends at St. Paul, the St. Paul Street Evangelization Apostolate. They are our kinfolk there doing the work of the Lord. So we feel really good about supporting our brothers and sisters at the St. Paul Street Evangelization while empowering you with these wonderful booklets.
One of which is called Mary, and the author of which is Tim Staples. The way you get it is to get it for half off and to have $10 of your sale price to be sent for the use of St. Paul Street Evangelization is to go to Catholic.com, to the shop section there, or just go, give a call, 888-291-8000, and they will help you to get it. And something like you. Well, no, not nothing. I shouldn't say something like you. My wife is a convert to the faith.
Outstanding.
And we're going to do together all 20 Answers books.
Fantastic.
Through Lent and Easter.
Outstanding.
But she's a faster reader than I am, so she's going to have to just take a break every now and then and wait for me to catch up.
Yeah, I have that problem too. My 8-year-old is a faster reader than I am, so I kind of go slow too.
Well, your 8-year-old, you know, has not just your genes. So
<That's right>.
There's
but
some
moms also.
That's right. 888-318-7884 is the number. It's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Happy to take your questions. We go now directly to Joe in Indiana listening on Redeemer Radio. Joe, you are on with Tim Staples. What's your question?
Well, Joe, I'm a first-time caller. I'm Joe.
Yes, you are.
And I don't want to create no hair. I can't even speak out.
That's
heresy,
all right.
Or anything like that, because I am a Catholic. But I have been taking a crash course on spiritual life, and I think it was your show that talks about three dimensions. Okay?
Right.
More than just spiritual life. There's like three dimensions. Like now it would be the third, okay? The second dimension would be like holograms, like David Copperfield. But if it's not a hologram, what would it be? It would be like good or bad spirits, hopefully good ones, that you can see, hear, or touch, smell. Possibly smell. I guess that's the hardest one.
Right.
I had a very close encounter, a very warm encounter with my dad. I smelled him 4 times after he passed. Excuse me.
So your question, Joe, is about spiritual dimensions? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah. And there's a first dimension, like the Holy Trinity, that's inexplainable. You know, anybody can explain the Holy Trinity, stay away from it. There's no explanation. You can, you know, it's too comprehensive to explain, correct?
Well, no, it's not. You can't completely exhaust the mystery of the Trinity because it is a mystery, but there are certain things that God has revealed to us about the Trinity that are knowable and are defined by the Catholic faith. All right, for example, let me give you an example. When I was in seminary years ago, we learned the four essential things to remember about the Trinity. One essence, two processions, three persons, and four relations. That kind of encapsulates the spirituality of the Trinity, or the theology of the Trinity. Of course, you got to unpack all that. But those are things that are revealed to us, have been taught to us by the church. For example, that God is absolutely one. We're not saying there's three gods. God is absolutely one. The two processions, we see that biblically revealed, that the Son proceeds from the Father, and His is a what we call a generative procession because he or a filial procession because He is a Son. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and Son in a spirative procession. And again, these are all in sacred Scripture, and we're able to lay these out theologically as well. There are four relations in the Trinity, and what that means is that the persons of the Blessed Trinity are distinct by virtue of their relations, much like in a family. My children have a different, they are different persons than I am. How do we distinguish each other? Because we have the same nature. My children are just as human as I am. Even though sometimes I wonder, my children are just as human.
That might
as
go
I
both
am.
Ways, Tim.
In other words, we that's right. That's, I'm sure it goes the other way. But we have the same nature. What distinguishes us? Well, our relations, one. Now, of course, because of the fact that we're not God, we're also distinguished because we're individual beings. But in God, the persons are not individual beings, but they are relationally distinct, just like my son is not me, I am not my son. The Father is not the Son is not the Father. So there is a relational distinction, but they all share that one essence, which is absolutely one, hence they are not three beings. So in other words, there are these and more things that we could talk about, my friend, about the Trinity that are reasonable, they are revealed in sacred Scripture, but like you mentioned before, ultimately the Trinity transcends our ability to fully comprehend. In fact, in an eternity in heaven, we will never fully comprehend the Blessed Trinity because only the persons of the Blessed Trinity have the power to fully comprehend because only God can comprehend God fully. But you had one more aspect to your question.
Okay. Well, there was three dimensions is what, I don't know if it was your show or what, but is there possibly a fourth dimension, like technology, what science is proving, you know, that would go into the second, would that go into the second dimension? Or would that be a fourth dimension between the first and the third, between the, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you know, I think what we could talk about, when you talk about dimensions, there are all sorts of theories. This, you know, Cy and I were talking about, where's Jimmy Akin when you need him?
Yeah.
He could lay out like 13 different physicist theories on dimensions. But basically, we have one, two, and three dimensions that we're familiar with this side of the veil. Like two dimensions is absolutely flat. Three dimensions is, hey, we can see depth and height and all of that. Those are easily knowable because they're right in front of us. But people posit, you know, a fourth dimension perhaps. That's one way to explain it. This is where God and the angels dwell, in a fourth dimension or in a different dimension. You know, that's an interesting way to look at it. What's revealed to us in sacred Scripture and in the teaching of the church is that God does dwell in light. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse, I think it's 16, it might be 15, it's right in there, that God dwells in light that is unapproachable. No one can dwell where he dwells in that strict absolute sense because he is in a state of being that is all his own. Everything else, including angels, participate in the being that he possesses infinitely and absolutely. So, you know, we could perhaps get into different dimensions in that sense, if you want to call them that, where God dwells, perhaps that's dimension, where the angels dwell, because they dwell in a state that is not the same state as God, but they participate in the reality of God in a way differently than you and I. There can be an angel right here, right now. In fact, there are. Your guardian angel, my guardian angel, they're probably slapping each other high five right now. But we can't see them. So in a sense, that's a dimension, right? So, you know, there's different ways of looking at this. The church doesn't give us anything that would tell us, no, you can't use the term dimension. So I think this is an area where science and theology can perhaps converge a bit, and we can toss ideas around and see how they fit.
And there's a lot of room for that kind of intellectual life for a Catholic, to speculate, to wonder, to, as a matter of fact, wonder is a huge part of being a Catholic.
Amen. And wonder is a huge part of talking to Jimmy Akin.
I find that myself. And high five, guardian angel.
See, I'd love to hear him talk about dimensions. You talk about learning something, you would, yeah.
We'll take a brief break, and we will be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Tim Staples? Did you know you can book Tim or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers clear arguments so anyone can master defending the fundamentals of our Catholic faith. They also arm the reader to converse intelligently about critical moral and cultural topics facing the church today, such as abortion, end-of-life issues, and the growth of Islam. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the complete set of all 20 books in the series, we will cut the price in half. And we're challenging you to read them all by the end of Lent. What a great preparation for Easter. But wait, there's more. Catholic Answers is going to take $10 from each set purchased and use it to provide materials to our good friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets, and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Let's do something great for the kingdom. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today. In fact, why not buy two sets and challenge a friend to take the 20 Answers Challenge? That's 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live, taking your questions on any aspect of the Catholic faith. Taking your calls, Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Event. No. Did I say that?
Yes,
all of a
did.
Sudden, I just said, oh, I had a brain cramp and I thought I was going to.
You had it right.
All of a sudden, you intimidated me, Tim.
You were right there.
Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. Now I'm not intimidated anymore. Okay. 888-318-7884 is the number. Victor in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, watching us on YouTube, but now on the phone. Victor, you're on with Tim Staples. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. Welcome.
At the time, the Western part of the church thought that the woman who had the seven demons and the sinful woman was Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that from Pope Gregory the First homily.
Correct.
Now,
yes.
when people interpret the sinful woman, they interpret it as the prostitute. But reading Pope Gregory's homily, he said that those seven demons represent represent all menace of sin.
Right.
So did him and the other people at the, around that time think of Mary Magdalene as just a sinful woman or a prostitute as well?
Yeah, there were quite a few who believed that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. She certainly was, she and is known in the tradition as a sinful woman, but the prostitute part, you know, most scholars have moved away from as far as her being the prostitute or even the one who was caught in adultery. There is a tradition that would have that being Mary Magdalene as well. And that's pretty much, there's not many folks left that hold to that today. So that's just, that's an example. Now, this is, like we said before, Si, there's a lot of freedom here. You know, the church doesn't give us anything definitive. Even Pope Gregory's homily was just that, a homily from about 1,400 years ago, and you don't really have magisterial teaching on this. And, you know, Victor, the wonderful thing about being Catholic is when the Pope or the bishops in union with the Pope declare something definitively, man, you can take that to the bank, because that's just like Jesus Christ said it, because he speaks through his church. But when it comes to things that are not defined like this, the nature, who was the woman in John chapter 8, and was, did Mary Magdalene have seven demons cast out of her? Was she, you know, there's lots of differing opinions on that. And you know what, Si? I think that's cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that have kind of a caricature of the Catholic Church that, you know, the church is just a dogma-making machine.
Yeah.
And we have no freedom of thought. We just, we're like the Stepford Wives. You know, we just, I repeat what the Pope says. And of course, that's not true. And in fact, even when it comes to the dogmas of the faith, thanks be to God, the church gives us the parameters so that we can know the truth. Because remember, folks, it's the truth that makes us free. John chapter 8, verse 32 tells us. So when we know the truth definitively, that's a liberating thing. But even when it comes to the dogmas of the faith, they too can be developed. Now, you know, there's a popular conception out there that says, oh no, once a dogma has been defined, it can't develop any further. That's it. That's the end of the line. The church never has never said that. In fact, we've developed that. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we had the Orthodox Schism, is because some thought the filioque, nope, you can't develop the creed.
Mm-hmm.
It was put in stone at Constantinople in 381, and you can't add to it. And that's simply not true. Now, of course, you can't add to it in the sense of changing the substance of, no, because it represented infallible teaching. But even infallible teachings can be developed, and our understanding can go even deeper. I know you got more than you bargained for there, my friend, but I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Victor. Sylvia in Monrovia, California, listening on Immaculate Radio. Sylvia, it's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Tim Staples?
Well, I heard other speakers on Catholic Radio saying that if someone is getting married, who's been raised a Catholic, and they decide to get married outside the church, they're in a secular setting or another Protestant sect, that, and a priest told me this, that
yeah,
I wouldn't allow to go to their marriage.
Yes.
This particular speaker said that they have to, it would be better if they denounced their Catholic faith and then I could go to their wedding. Mm-hmm. Then it would be okay to go to their wedding, but I don't understand how that could be so. Why would you want them to denounce their faith and then you accept it and go to their wedding? I just don't see the logic.
No, I don't see the logic there either. I think that's not a good thing. You never want someone, please denounce your faith right now. You know, obviously that's not something that you ever want anyone to do, because obviously that's a serious matter. Silvio, the problem here is there's a little bit of confusion going on. The law of the church has been for some time canon law that if someone had, and we're talking about Catholics here, Sylvia, you know what, let me back up and lay a foundation here. Sylvia, Catholics who are baptized Catholics are bound by what we call canonical form. I mentioned this the last time, that was yesterday, I was on the radio, that the church is the dispenser of the sacraments of God. God has given the church the authority to be the custodian as well. The church doesn't just define what the sacraments are. She does do that. They're revealed in Scripture. She defines what they are, but she also gives us the parameters, the rules, so that we can flourish in the reception of the sacraments. That's a very important role that the church has, not to lord it over our faith, as 2 Corinthians 1:24, St. Paul says to the Corinthians, I'm not here to lord over your faith, but to be a helper of your joy. That's what the church does. She helps us to be free so we can know the truth and experience the freedom that comes to us through the sacraments. Now, when it comes to a Catholic then, a Catholic is bound to follow those rules, if you will, the canonical form. If a Catholic does not, then that marriage would not be valid or sacramental. Now, that's kind of a foundation, Sylvia. The law of the church had been for some time, I don't know exactly when, but for some time, the law of the church had been that if a Catholic not only leaves the church, but formally defects from the church, then they would no longer be bound by canonical form. So as baptized Christians, they could be, you know, validly married outside of the Catholic Church. The church no longer holds to that. It became kind of a pastoral nightmare here with what is formal defection, and ended up being for a while you have to write a letter to your bishop. He must receive it and accept your formal defection and all that. The church basically jettisoned that. So the bottom line is, if someone is baptized Catholic, they're bound by canonical form. Even if they leave the faith, you're still bound by canonical form. So, Sylvia, I know it's kind of a long explanation, but see, there's a reason for all this. And one thing this tells me, Sylvia, is that when people leave the Catholic faith, they're in a not good situation. We need to evangelize them and bring them home. Because when you've had, you know, I always think here, Sylvia, of Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required. Leaving the Catholic faith, and I know some people do it and they're not culpable, they haven't been well formed. And a lot of them that I talk to aren't even leaving the Catholic Church, actually. They're leaving a phantom that they've created, you know, a straw man, if you will, or a false notion, a caricature of what the Catholic Church really is. But nevertheless, those people are in an objectively precarious situation because you left Jesus in the Eucharist. You left the sacraments, the ordinary means of our sanctification. And so, Sylvia, what the church is emphasizing now is for those Catholics who are being married outside of the Catholic Church, it's a grave situation, right? And so as a general rule of thumb, Sylvia, I cannot recommend to folks that they go to a Catholic marriage where a Catholic has gone and gotten married outside of the Catholic Church. Now, the church does not give us anything definitive on that, however. There's good reason for holding to that position. I mean, there's, basically by going to a wedding, you're giving tacit approval by your presence to something that is objectively not the will of God. And there's a problem of scandal involved there as well with your presence being there. However, the church has never, and Sylvia, whenever somebody tells me, oh no, absolutely you can never do that, I always say, where does the church say that? And the church doesn't. Believe me, I've looked. There is no definitive legislation on this, and I think there's a reason. The church leaves this. We have the principles, absolutely. What's happening here is not good. They're outside of the will of God here. The possibility of scandal, all these things we have to consider. But there are possibilities, Sylvia, especially when you have close relations like a father-son relationship, a brother-sister. You can make known to all involved, hey, I'm not with you on this, all right? You guys are making a big mistake, and I want to bring you back to the Catholic faith and perhaps still go to that wedding. I mean, there are possibilities is what I'm saying, because the church has left that door open.
We kind of have a theme of freedom.
yes. within the church today.
A yes,
lot of
we do.
Freedom to think and speculate and wonder. And
amen.
In this case, too. Sylvia, thank you so much for that question. It's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples taking your questions. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and we'll be right back.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, everyone. This is Carlo Broussard. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Happy to take your calls, but boy, those lines do fill up. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you live in Northern or Central California, Carlo Broussard is coming your way. He's going to give a series of talks beginning Saturday, February 25th, and running through Tuesday, February 28th in San Jose, Santa Clara, Saratoga, Los Altos Hills, and Campbell, California. Just visit the Catholic Answers Facebook or Twitter pages for more information. And just to keep Tim Staples from getting jealous, you're going to be in New Jersey this weekend. I don't want to neglect to say that.
Correct. Toms River, New Jersey. And now I can't remember the church. I announced it yesterday. And it just slipped right out of my
brain. Well, St. Louis was the church you were in, and so the church you're going, was it St. Not St. John, not St.
You know what? I'll get it during the next break, and I will let the folks know.
Okay. All right. I should have remembered that, too. I apologize.
Yes, and it's going to be wonderful.
Not knowing where it was going.
Toms River, New Jersey is where I'm going, and I'll let you guys in on the church after the next break. But I'm going to be speaking all day on Saturday. It's going to be fantastic. Catholics and the Culture War is the first talk, and then my second talk is The Answer is Catholic with a question mark.
Yeah.
And I love this talk. I love giving it because it's my own experience. But what I do is I share how that the very doctrines that were the ones I thought the Catholics were absolutely nutty, crazy about were the ones that ended up making me Catholic because those were the ones I went after my Marine Corps buddy Matt Dula about, and he gave me answers, and it rocked my world, and it caused me to study. And so now I find these very doctrines that used to keep me away from the church are the ones I want to talk about.
Can you really talk for a whole day?
I sure can. Yeah. Ask my wife.
We go to Asher in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Radio. Asher, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
My question is, why did Jesus make the devil if he knew he was going to betray him?
Oh, my goodness. That is a great question. How old are you?
9.
9 years old. That is a fantastic question. And what is your name again?
Asher.
Asher. And that's a very cool name. Well, here's the bottom line. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1861 tells us that both mortal sin and love are the radical possibilities of human freedom. It's a beautiful quote, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, Asher, is God could have made the angels and men as robots to where all they could do was what is right. But God willed for there to be love. And so in order for there to be love as we understand it, he created both angels and men with real freedom, a freedom that brings with it the possibility of real evil. But at the same time, of course, the possibility of great love. And this is why, Asher, by the way, human beings have the ability to either ascend the heights of a St. Teresa of Calcutta or descend to the depths of an Adolf Hitler. This is why the angels can ascend to the heights of a St. Michael or to the depths of a Lucifer. Because of this radical gift of freedom that we have, that brings about this radical possibility that the Catechism talks about. Does that help at all, Asher?
Yeah.
See, Asher, here's the bottom line. God so wanted us to be able to love that he gave us the freedom to also hate. And unfortunately, Lucifer chose. Now, one thing I would say here is that God really didn't create Satan. He created Lucifer, which means light. He was an angel of light, and he chose against God, and he became Satan. Not a different being. He's the same being. But his name changed to reflect the change of his character. Satan means adversary. He's not a good guy. He's our adversary. He doesn't like us because he knows God loves us and he hates everything that God loves. And he's really the example of what happens when people choose to hate instead of choose to love. Does that help?
Okay.
Does that help, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for calling.
You did a great job, Asher. Call anytime.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you.
All right. Paul in San Bernardino, California, watching us on YouTube. Folks do watch us on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Periscope these days, and you can catch us there. Paul, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, thank
doing
you.
Great.
Great, great. So my question is, why didn't, I believe it was Pope John the 23rd, obey the Blessed Mother when she said that in 1960, before Sister Lucia died, the third secret was to be revealed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
I've been struggling with this because I've been watching a lot of Father Malachi, Father Gruner, and Father Hesse, where they said that the third secret has been hidden from us.
Right.
Because I guess it was something about the apostasy of the church. So I'm trying to clear things up.
Sure. Well, number one, I would not listen to Father Gruner. Well, of course, Father Gruner has recently passed on. God rest his soul. But unfortunately, he was not in union with the church on this. And what I would recommend to you, my friend, is to go to the Vatican website. And if you do a little search there on the third secret of Fatima, the church, it was then Cardinal Ratzinger who before he became Pope Benedict XVI, issued a decree explaining the third secret once and for all, and explaining how, and Father Gruner was wrong on this, how what the third secret entailed, and it entailed a number of things, one of which was the persecution of the Holy Father, the averting, may well be, of a third world war. There's a beautiful image there of you know, the Pope going up a hill, and there's rockets and such coming at him, or bombs and that sort of thing. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, and through the ministry of the Pope, a third world war was averted. It's actually a beautiful document. More folks need to read it. But it's called the Third Secret of Fatima, and it's got original documents. They're like, what do you call, scanned. They're put right there for you. You can see
Sister Lucia's original writing, how she wrote about the secret, how it was fulfilled and such. It's absolutely beautiful. So the bottom line is the Pope did obey. Now, one question is, why didn't the earlier popes obey? Because remember, in 1917, Our Lady asked for Russia to be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart and all of that. And it was not done until the 1980s, what was it, 84, when John Paul the Great, he in fact went beyond what the Blessed Mother said. He consecrated the whole world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now some thought, oh, you didn't fulfill it. No. Yes, he went beyond it. And Sister Lucia said, absolutely, he fulfilled it. And we believe that resulted in the downfall of the Soviet Empire, communism being seriously dented and had reverberations throughout the world, man. I mean, this is glorious. And it's unfortunate that these guys like Father Gruner were out there spewing out errors and lies like, oh, it hasn't been done, when the church has said, yes, it has. The Russia and the entire world was consecrated to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart and tremendous things happened. One of the problems is, and what you'll find is, well, they'll say, well, if in fact that would have happened, the whole world would have been converted and it would be, I mean, what folks have to understand is that the church is the interpreter of private revelation. Just like the church gives us official interpretations of sacred scripture, right? Whenever a seer, like Sister Lucia, who is approved, has a revelation, she in fact would tell you, listen to the church. I remember Sister Lucia years ago said, I can be wrong in my own interpretation of what Our Lady said to me. You listen to the church. St. John of the Cross once said that we do not listen to an apparition because the apparition says it. We listen if it's in conformity to the teachings of the church. So the church interprets the private revelation of Fatima, not the other way around. And unfortunately, what you have are people running around and using the apparitions at Fatima as a club against the church. And that's something Our Lady will never stand for. Our Lady tells us to be submissive to the Pope. Anyway, check it out at the Vatican website. It's wonderful. It's glorious. And also, there's a wonderful book by Cardinal Ratzinger called God and the World, where he talks about the third secret and all that I've just shared with you. Excellent. It's an interview book called God and the World. So check that out as well.
Thank you very much, Paul. If you're watching on one of our Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope, you're now going to see Tim Staples leave and run to find out what parish is he going to be in New Jersey this weekend. I am Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live. Open forum. We'll continue when we come back.
Call now. Tim is waiting to speak with you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchased and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win, win, win. Together, we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpu. In Mark 9:30, Jesus told his disciples that he would be handed over to men who would kill him, and in 3 days he would rise. However, they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to question him. A little later, he asked them what they had been discussing along the way, but they remained silent because they had been arguing about who was the greatest. They were closed to what he had been saying because it did not sound pleasant. It could even mean some sort of loss for them. So they simply shut him out. He knew exactly where they were and did not chastise them. He explained that anyone who wishes to be first must be willing to be the last and the servant of all. By his patience, he eventually brought them around. Such was his love for them. Such is his love for the likes of you and me. It is his patient love for us that will bring us home. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is back, having run through the hallways to find out what parish he will be in this weekend, and he has it right in front of him with his reading glasses. Nice reading glasses, by the way.
Why, thank you.
And where are you going to be?
And actually, I think you said it right.
I said St. John.
Oh, you said St. John.
Yeah.
Well, then you were wrong.
Yes.
All right. I will be at St. Joseph Parish on 685 Hooper Avenue, Toms River, New Jersey. And by the way, if you want information, if you're in the area of Toms River, New Jersey, and you want to come, this is Saturday, February 25th. I'll be there all day. My talks are Catholics in the Culture War, as I mentioned, and the answer is Catholic. People are laughing at me because I look like an old guy now with my glasses on my nose.
I wasn't going to say it. They're behind the glass. They can
they're
say
laughing.
That.
They're
I'm
laughing.
They're saying it.
That's right. I'm getting old. But anyway, St. Joseph Parish, and also there'll be Q&A. You know, I'll sign anything that I have for sale. We'll have books and CDs and DVDs. But also, if you want contact information, if you want to call to find out details, you call George Rose at 609-802-1888. That's 609-8. Did I say yes?
Yeah.
609-802-1888. I look forward to seeing all my Joysy friends this Saturday.
I love New Jersey. It's a great state.
The Garden State,
yeah.
My friend.
Have you been down to the shore? You ever been down?
Oh,
have you been?
Many, many times. I was raised.
It's like heaven down there.
Oh, my goodness. I was raised in Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
So every summer, we would either go south to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina,
yeah.
Or we would go to Delaware or Ocean City, Maryland, or Atlantic City, New Jersey, and some of the other New Jersey beaches.
Yeah. They were
now, this was in Atlantic City before it got ruined by the casinos, back when they had the old steel
pier.
See,
I never went there before that.
Oh,
I know.
It was glorious. Before the casinos, people, you had the famous steel pier. I went there. They had a diving horse that used to jump off into a pool and oh, my gosh.
How much fun was that for the horse, though? I mean, everybody else liked it, but I don't know how much the horse liked.
Only a couple of them died.
Did you know they have dry towns
None
there?
None of them died.
I think Ocean City, New Jersey, which is just south of – you can't get alcohol there.
Still?
Yeah, so it's a real family town.
Amazing.
I took my family there. We liked
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're bringing – we used to stay at the Algiers Hotel, and oh, my goodness, we loved it. Virtually every year. I mean, we would –
yeah.
My dad was awesome. My late father, who just passed away last October, he just loved the beach. So we would be there, and we always had multiple vacations in a summer. He owned his own business, so he would just say, "Load up the cars, guys. We're going to the beach this week."
Oh, that's great.
Oh my gosh, and we had fun. Anyway, I got to put my headphones on.
What Keith in North Carolina. Thanks for waiting while we discussed our love for the state of New Jersey. You are on with Tim Staples. What's your question?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm a recent convert. I was raised as a Protestant. I'm 50 years old. I've been married for 25 years.
Yes.
My wife is Catholic. I attended Mass with her. Our whole marriage, we never went a whole lot, you know, the Christmas, Easter kind of thing. And I found that the Mass was all very similar to the service that I attended as a Protestant in the Reformed Church as growing up.
Uh-huh.
Finally, last year, I decided to convert to Catholicism, and through going through RCIA, I learned so much about the church and how fulfilling the faith is.
Yes.
And it's really opened up such a larger part of our lives together, my wife and I.
Yeah.
Because now we're discerning our place in God's universe together.
Amen.
And it's great. However, I'm in kind of a dilemma at this point. Just being new in the faith, and I felt the need to really research everything about it and know what I was getting into.
Good man.
As much as I can about it. I recently read and saw some videos about the Latin Mass.
Yes.
And the Novus Ordo I've been attending with her for 25 years now. And like I said, it was similar. And, you know, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy and everything like that. So we got, you know, curious, and we went to a Latin Mass recently.
Uh-huh.
And although I was somewhat confused because everything is in Latin, obviously,
sure.
I felt that it was more geared towards our adoration to God and being not of us so much.
Yeah.
And then going back to the Novus Ordo, because there's very few Latin masses around,
yes.
It was difficult. You know, I found I can't concentrate now. The hymns and everything, and that's another thing. The hymns are exactly the same as when I was in the Protestant church.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm in a kind of a dilemma.
Right.
What do I do? Do I attend the Latin Mass?
Mm.
Because I'm feeling like this at this point that it's what God wants me to do.
Sure. Wow, Keith, let me jump in here because I think everything you're saying is beautiful. And I always say to folks, go where you can pray. Go where, you know, it's conducive for you to enter into the sacred mysteries. You know, for me, you know, I studied Latin for 4 years when I was in college and in seminary. I love Latin. We have the traditional Mass, or we call it now the extraordinary form, here at Catholic Answers sometimes. Most of the time, we do the ordinary form, which is in the vernacular. But we have a local parish here, St. Anne's, which does the traditional, the extraordinary form. And I always say to folks, go where it's going to help you to pray. I also encourage folks to read a wonderful document when Pope Paul VI promulgated the Roman Missal, the new Roman Missal in 1969. He wrote a beautiful document where he talks about why he and the church is doing what she did. And it's really quite beautiful. And in that document, he talks about how, you know, many say, how dare we take away the Latin, this tradition, 1,000 years of tradition of Latin, the sacred language, you know, the language of so many saints over so many centuries and all of this, because by doing that, you reduce some of, you know, that mysterious component. You reduce that, the sacred language that unifies different peoples and different cultures. There's a beautiful Catholicity to it. There's the mystery to it. It's by definition more meditative because, you know, most don't know Latin fluent enough to really enter into the words the priest is saying. So it's more on you to enter into meditatively the Mass. You know generally what's going on and such. And so it really is more on you to enter into the mystery. But Pope Paul VI, you know, he praises the Latin so much in that document. You say, yeah, why did you get rid of it, right? And then he points out one among many reasons why it was a good thing. And I will argue till I die it was a good thing. And it's a wonderful thing that we have both today because we need both. Unfortunately, what happened after the council was folks went crazy throughout all the Latin, which the document said we weren't supposed to do. Every Catholic should know the Our Father, the Creed, their prayers and such in Latin, and virtually no one does because we went too far. And now, you know, Pope Benedict has kind of brought us back by bringing the extraordinary form, and I think what's happening is the extraordinary form is bringing back a reverence, and it's finding its way into the ordinary form as well, I find. That the two are kind of congealing a bit. But here's what Pope Paul VI said that I think was beautiful. He said, yes, we are giving up a lot by introducing the vernacular. But he quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in a way I'd never imagined, where St. Paul says, if I speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, I would rather speak one with my understanding, or what did he say, five, with my understanding. I would rather speak one word or five words with my understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. And it was so interesting the way Pope Paul VI did that. He said that just like with the sacraments themselves, God wills for us to be able to easily and readily, with facility, enter into these great mysteries, to hear and comprehend the Word, because we are a religion of the Word. And Paul the Sixth says it's not good enough for us to, you know, be looking at a translation while the priest is saying something else, and you're not really connecting in the Word with the priest and entering into the mystery. So as beautiful as the Latin is and how much good it has, there are also deficiencies. And I believe that the world's reception of the Roman Missal of Pope Paul VI in 1916, I mean, the whole world received it. Yeah, there were grumblings, but they were very small. Folks, the nations of the world, all the bishops' conference received it. People were, oh my goodness, I can understand. I can enter into the liturgy, man. I can be with the priest. Now, what happened, as I said, you know, in the decades that followed, it became a circus because people went crazy and they did what the council never said to do and started turning it into a, you know, instead of God-centered liturgy, it became man-centered and it became all about us instead of God. But you know what, Keith, this is what happens in the history of the church. You know, at the time of the Council of Trent, the liturgies were so crazy all over the Western world that, you know, the church had to lasso everything and bring sanity, and that's what brought us the great Tridentine renewal. But even that took a long time to implement. You had great men like St. Charles Borromeo, who as a bishop of Milan, he would go around to his parishes in civilian clothes, and sneak into the parishes and watch the abuses of his priests, and then he would meet them in the rectory after Mass and say, you're not doing this again, you're not doing this again. I mean, it took time to implement the Tridentine reforms, and it took time to implement the reforms after the council as well. But Keith, I want to encourage you, my friend, the church gives us the Latin, the extraordinary form, and the church gives us the ordinary form. They are both glorious, and both of them present the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, offered body, blood, soul, and divinity on the altars in Catholic churches all around the world. And that's what it's about. We need to enter into Him so that we can change our lives and those the lives of those around us.
Keith, I imagine, did that help you, Keith?
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Tim. It definitely helps, but I still feel a calling to probably the Latin Mass.
Amen, brother. And I say, go. Amen. And Keith, go. Don't feel, there shouldn't be 1 ounce of, oh boy, should I, or am I doing something wrong? No, my goodness. That is a beautiful liturgy. The extraordinary form of the Mass is absolutely glorious, as is the ordinary. So, my friend, go where you can pray.
Amen to that. And do you ever feel, though, sometimes, okay, so you go to the Latin Mass, the traditional Mass, the extraordinary form, and you go to the Novus Ordo, and you do feel like—
Or the ordinary form.
Yeah, right. Yes. You do feel like there are things still that can be communicated between the two that maybe—
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do think that's happening.
Yeah.
The one is helping the other. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Sai, it is a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, I really enjoyed discussing New Jersey with you.
Amen.
Reminiscing about New Jersey. I lost a wedding ring there one time.
Oh.
Yeah, I put the lotion on the kids for the sun and
yes.
Then got in the water.
Whoop.
Off it went. So if you're in Ocean City, New Jersey, see if you find it, send it back to me. Will you? Tomorrow, we'll start out with how to talk to a skeptic. Don Johnson will be our guest. This is Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be with you again tomorrow.